The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. It is NFL Draft Week. We are here for another NFL Draft betting update. Brendan Glasheen in the host chair. We've got Travis Reed, Jacob Blaine, Evan Abrams. At this point, if you've been tuning in, you're familiar with the crew, Travis and Jacob, both contributors over at Action, Evan Abrams, as well as our director of research and media. Thursday night, it all goes down in Detroit, day one. We will dive into the particulars in terms of where our schedule is this week. It is not the first time we will join you. We'll be back at some point Thursday, also overnight Thursday into Friday morning. More to come at the end of the episode in terms of how you can hear us and get ready to fire some bets on the NFL draft. We have a lot to get into because GMs were talking, as we suspected, with these voluntary workouts last week. And when guys were at the podium, as we teased last week, you have to take some of it with a grain of salt and choose what you want to believe. So we'll lead as we normally do. Any bets at current prices that you like at this moment, right now? Travis Reed, what do you got?
Yeah, we had some more markets come out for player over-unders. So they always start with maybe the top five picks, top 10, but now we're getting into, later and later into the first round, they're putting over unders on some of those. And really a lot of these I look at as coin flips, but if you can get good plus money on these coin flips, I'm going to take that side. So some examples, JC Latham, he's been getting some steam kind of this week, but I'm going to go against that, take over 14.5 at plus 130. Latu is another guy. He's kind of got a wide range of outcomes. He does have some medical questions, but I like over 17.5 at plus 150 there. But yeah, if you're kind of going around and looking at a lot of these, I think if you're looking just at, if you have no idea what's going to happen and you just want to sprinkle in some bets on some of these plus money over unders, I think that's one of the best way to kind of build out your card, because it's still much of a crapshoot right now. We still don't know a lot of what's going to happen. So to be able to get plus money on what, like I said, I consider to be coin flips is a good way to take advantage.
Okay, very good. Jacob Wayne, anything at this moment on Monday, April 22nd, that you are interested in right now at a current price?
Yeah, one I took over the weekend was Adonai Mitchell, over 27.5 on the draft position. So not a plus money one, like Travis was saying. You do have some juice to the over on that, but I'm just fading the scene that's suggesting Adonai Mitchell is close to this top crop of wide receivers in this class. There's a list of round one receivers to average fewer than 85 receiving yards in their best game, in their best season. And it's a who's who of first round busts. You got John Ross, Rashad Perryman, Jalen Reagor, Quentin Johnston, like the list goes on. And basically Adonai Mitchell's production profile doesn't suggest that he should be close to the top 20 picks. And there's questions about his character now that are coming out. Kind of a hit piece that I didn't love, and I don't want to read too much into it, but talking about his diabetes concerns, I don't want to go too far into that, but I think we're also seeing some buzz around Brian Thomas falling a bit here, based on some undisclosed injury stuff that's coming out. So curious to see how that affects Adonai Mitchell's draft position, because if Thomas falls further than expected, then it would push Mitchell down the board. But overall, it's hard for me to see where he lands before Buffalo at 28. And if we're betting the over 27.5, we get Buffalo as kind of the stealing play for Mitchell in the draft. But also just wouldn't be shocked if he falls out of the first round at this point.
Do you have a price point you'd play it to if you're laying juice?
I'd look for, minus 150, probably something around that. I played it at minus 135, but yeah, look for minus 150 or better, maybe.
Okay. Evan Abrams, how about yourself?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy draft week. I'm just going to go with I'm going to go with the over-under, since I'll stick with that theme. I hit on a bunch, so I'll just list a few off here. I agreed with Mitchell. I took over 27.5. I agreed with Latham. I have over 14.5. Two or three more I'll add to it. I took Kool-Aid under 29.5. Chop under 27.5. And I think a great conversation right now is that Kingsley versus Morgan potentially for that Chiefs pick. So I took Kingsley under 32.5 as well. And the one I'm really looking out for is Franklin. I believe I saw 43.5. He started, I believe, in like the 30s in some mocks. So I'm hoping it goes to maybe the 44s, and I'd be considering an under there. Maybe a little bit too high for me. I think there's a chance he falls into one of those slots. So in terms of just over-unders, I have a few other things. Those are the ones that I've attacked over the last 48 hours, let's call it.
Okay, very good. So we did this, we've been doing these every Monday, and a lot of stuff has been coming out Tuesdays, including mock drafts. So that's kind of annoying, but it gives us something to sink our teeth into for the next week. And this is draft week, of course. And Peter Schrager had a mock draft, and we were all going back and forth in our Slack channel, reacting to Peter Schrager, who's pretty tapped in. It was his first mock draft that he put out there. I would like some knee-jerk reactions. Jacob, you're nodding. I'll go to you first on this. So he's got J.J. McCarthy going number four to the Giants. So the Giants would be the team trading up to the Cardinals. Cardinals would come back out of four, go to six, and he's got them taking a receiver. Speaking of which, receivers, Schrager has eight receivers going in the first round, nine offensive linemen. What is your leadoff thought when you read Peter Schrager's mock draft from last week?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up the receivers. We're not getting eight receivers in the first round. I think it's more likely to get four or five, depending on what happens with Adonai Mitchell here. But yeah, under 6.5 receivers is at -240 right now. We're seeing Jalen Polk. As soon as Peter Schrager put that out, his first round odds plummeted down to like 3-1. That's an absurd number. He's not going in the first round. I'm comfortable putting my stamp on that. Nothing wrong with the player. I think he's a fine projection, but given the talent at this wide receiver class, a big thing that I've been doing is just fading the smoke around first round wide receivers in general. There's so many talented players at that position on day two, and we'll talk about some specific teams later on, but that was my biggest reaction, was I just think that's not happening with the wide receiver class this year.
Schrager, in his write-up, he's got a blurb for every pick that he lays out, and he did admit with Jalen Polk to the Chiefs at 32. Polk is a personal favorite, was the first sentence. So at least he's admitting some bias there when he gives Jalen Polk some love. And he also mentions how he started his career at Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes, played for the Red Raiders, et cetera. So how about you, Travis? From the Schrager mock and what it's done to the market, what's a jumping off point for you?
Did like the McCarthy to the Giants. I had mentioned that on a couple podcasts ago, that I thought, I don't think they're married to Daniel Jones at all. I think a quarterback is definitely in play for them. I'm not sure if they'll want to move up or just hope one kind of falls in their lap. That's still to be seen. But my initial reaction, I was like, oh crap, I'm too, you know, because I just bet the over on McCarthy. And so I actually, you know, started to go back through and looked at some of his previous mock drafts from last year and the year before that. You know, this guy's as plugged in as anybody, and you just see tons of whiffs. And it just was a good reminder of, okay, even these guys that know way more than we'll ever forget have no idea what's going to happen on Thursday. Give me a little bit more confidence. A lot of times when these insiders start to put out picks and things like that, you start to feel less confident in yours. But then, yeah, once you start to go back and look at the history of it, nobody knows what's going to happen. So back into just betting on good numbers.
Yeah, Evan, a lot has changed in the J.J. McCarthy market, right? Like,
yeah,
his number has shortened now to go number two overall. Like, that just happened overnight. You can get, I think it was 12-1. Now it's some books 8-1 to go number two overall. J.J. McCarthy under 5.5 draft selection is now -150. Over under 4.5 quarterbacks, the over now at -255. Schrager, just to tie it back to Schrager, he's got Bo Nix going to the Vikings at 23. So it would not be a J.J. McCarthy Vikings link up. It would be the Giants. And the Giants said they don't feel pressure. That was their quote from their GM at the end of last week. They don't feel pressure to take a quarterback with their first pick. So how do you make sense of all of it with the McCarthy stuff and the market movement?
So there's a lot there. I guess I'll start with McCarthy. So he was actually 18-1, 20-1 to go to at some places. I actually bit at 17, 18-1 myself. I could talk about that more in a second. Down to like 8-1, 7-1. I think Schrager putting him at four in his mock was, I believe, the start of other people believing that the hype might be relatively real, which then kind of turned into, could he go two? Because I haven't really heard much about three. So I think some of the conversation now is, you know, Washington had all the quarterbacks there. Is Daniels a guy? Then all of a sudden we were talking about Drake at two, right? So the a week ago, in between that time, we've had Drake May at two, we've had J.J. McCarthy at two, and we've had Jaden Daniels at two. So I think there is truth to the fact that the decision hadn't been made up to maybe a few days ago or potentially even now. So that's my thought on the McCarthy. I think 7-1, 8-1, too short to me. I liked the position that I took originally when I started to see the market coming down there as just a shot. I'll talk about another way to potentially do that JJ a two thing in a second with a exacta top five, I think is kind of fun. But with Schrager, I think there's an interesting point here. So we talked about Polk and him having him at 32. It's interesting to see the mocks since Schrager came out and to see where his trends kind of laid across. So no one else really ended up putting Polk into their top after him, even though the odds came down a lot on him to go in the first round. That's not the case when it comes to like Worthy and McConkie. Both, he had him at 24 and 31. Everyone's kind of putting them now into the first round after that. So there is a trend kind of going there. To me, I think Worthy over still is the play. I don't see 21. I don't see 24. I understand the speed and all that stuff, but the history there doesn't show out to be a great wide receiver. It just rarely ever does. So I see some, I don't know if anyone else sees higher, but like 32 and a half, maybe 33 and a half on Worthy. So I think that's probably the way to play it there.
Anyone have thoughts on that?
Something I liked on Worthy, I found a line on him to go to the Panthers, and we know they're going to be hungry for a wide receiver in the second round, and just a nice way to get some value on Worthy going further than expected. I got that at 10-1, just like a 0.1 unit flyer, but his speed with Bryce Young on that offense could be intriguing.
Anything on Worthy, Travis?
I still have that position of going exactly to the Chiefs. I do think he could fall into that second round. I wouldn't be surprised on that at all. I'm just good with where I'm at on him right now, and we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. So the another tie-in on McCarthy was actually a quote from Joe Horitz, the Chargers general manager, who said he noted that the Chargers are prepared to for the top four picks to unfold, with the Chargers anticipating the Cardinals trading the number four pick, and that would select a quarterback. And then he had a line in there like, we actually think we have the number one pick, like, which kind of indicates like, okay, we know the four quarterbacks are coming off the board. That's what you're reading into when Horitz is talking like, oh, we know a trade's coming. We don't know who it's going to be, Vikings, Giants, to go into four to take a quarterback. And now with this murkiness surrounding who's going to Daniels, McCarthy, or May, in some shape or form, four quarterbacks go. And then I would also add on the Vikings to land McCarthy, which we've been monitoring every week when we do this, is now plus 140. Vikings to get J.J. McCarthy. The Giants, to connect it back to Schrager, are at plus 275. So I guess I'll ask this, like, so what's happening with the Commanders? Like, what is the mindset right now of the Washington Commanders draft room?
They want a quarterback. I'm not sure they've made up their mind yet. Bringing them all in at once was definitely a unique move. I don't know if I've seen another team do that. Maybe just wanted to see who the alpha of the group was when they were all in the same room or something like that.
Apparently, apparently the Niners had done this. The GM had said that this is a study or some sort of exercise they performed in previous drafts. So he's just adopting this now in Washington.
They tell them to all go to the grocery store. They see who picks up the keys to drive. They see who goes into the front seat. It's all like a social experiment.
Who returns the cart after? They don't just leave their cart behind the car kind of thing. Yeah, those people do suck in my opinion. But anyway, just bring your cart back. Like, you know, I used to be the cart guy at a grocery store growing up, but I would appreciate it if people brought it back to the cart section. And some people don't do that. That would be a red flag for me about taking a franchise quarterback. Do you return your cart when you're done grocery shopping?
Definitely take them off your board if they don't return the grocery cart. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I did
not
see reports.
Quarterback-y-al.
Yeah, I did see reports that Daniels wasn't thrilled with that.
Yeah, that.
You know, that he didn't know that there was going to be all, he thought it was just a one-on-one type thing. I don't know if that does much. I don't know if he has the, like, I don't know if he can pull an Eli Manning or anything and say, hey, I'm not going here because I'm not happy with this group visit or anything. So I think if you're Jaden Daniels, you're just, you know, you're happy to be drafted at two and you go. So I think it's an interesting story. I don't know if it does a lot with the whole draft market. I still think it's probably 50-50 between Daniels and May. And we'll kind of see where this market goes in the next couple of days. That's where I'm kind of interested, because most of the line movement is on air from since we started talking till now. Now you might actually start to get some leaks. Like, okay, the Bears know who they're taking at one. Okay, now Washington knows who they're taking at two. So then this next few days, when you see some line movement, it actually means a whole lot more to me than anything we've seen the last month.
And that brings up New England. Elliot Wolf was at the podium and he said that the Patriots are open for business to trade the number three pick. And he then goes into how, which scares the shit out of me as a Patriots fan, like, oh, you know, and he starts rattling off the names at offensive line. They brought back Owenu. They got the guy from Pittsburgh that they think can slide over to left tackle. And talking out of both sides of his mouth quite a bit about his belief in the current group they have offensively. And he wasn't even really diving into skill guys. He was really talking about their line. So do you read into that, Jacob, at all about the Patriots and being open for business at three, playing off that Commanders discussion? Okay.
No, I think they're staying at three and taking a quarterback. I think Robert Kraft has his hands all over this draft, and I think he's made it pretty clear that he wants a quarterback. But quickly on Daniels before we move on.
Please.
I did find the discourse from his agent super interesting after that meeting with all the quarterbacks. He was on Twitter, like, quote tweeting Mike Florio, questioning the move by the Commanders, and like, it was all a bit weird to me. But there does seem to be some buzz that Daniels doesn't want to be in Washington now. I mean, we've known for this entire time that he wants to be in Las Vegas with Antonio Pierce. Don't know if that's possible of happening, but we'll see. But as far as the top three goes, I think Daniels and the Commanders are just very clearly not on the same page with this whole thing. Right after that meeting with all the quarterbacks in Washington, by the way, he accepted the meeting with the Vikings, which he had originally, I believe, turned down. So that was notable to me. So it seems like the Commanders are going to be going in a different direction. The odds have obviously reacted to that. Daniels got as high as, I think, like -380 to be the number two pick before all this went down. And now it's back closer to even money. Hopefully some people got the Drake May at 2-1 with me when I played that. Could get even better number before all this went down. I think the reality is the Commanders have played this really close to the vest and nobody really knows what they're doing. They've done a good job of not letting anything leak. So I think anytime you're seeing better than 2-1 value on either of those two guys, it's worth a play. Looking at it now, Jason McCarthy, though, this team has been significant, and it's possible that he could be the guy, honestly.
Okay, so Evan, you gave your J.J. McCarthy analysis in terms of how you played it. How does that connect to what the Commanders are thinking and the Daniels stuff with the agent and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm more so asking just the quarterback market in general. Like, what can be you like? Travis and Jacob brought this up from the very beginning. Try to get both sides of the coin on Daniels, May Daniels, and that's it's kind of coming back down now, I suppose. Because now I think I'm reading here, Daniels now is -150 to be number two, as opposed to what Jacob said, -300. I think it was -225 when we were here this exact time last Monday.
Yeah, if you've been listening to this podcast, I had Daniels at two for a long, long time. About a week ago, I said to myself, okay, I think it's at its peak. It's time to take Drake at two. And now all of a sudden I saw JJ at 17-18-1. And then there was chatter and now it's down to 9-1. I took a, you know, flyer at JJ at two at that point. I think right now, if someone hasn't gambled a dollar on this and they're looking to just get invested at the moment, I think Jaden Daniels not to go two is probably the direction I would be heading. I think the agent stuff that Jacob said was is completely right. I think there's weirdness going on there. I don't necessarily think he wants to play there. I think there's a decision to be made in Washington about, is it worth bringing in this guy if he doesn't want to be here versus someone else maybe we like as much, just as much, or even potentially a little bit better. That's why I also see the JJ news coming in. At this point, I think there's probably some fun in some top fives markets. There's exactas that just came out. I think there's hundred to one shots here to be taken. There's one piece of information that probably ties us all together that I currently believe, which is the Chargers and alt at five is a possibility. I already bet under 7.5. That was my bet I made a while ago. I still think that's great. He's the top offensive lineman. He's going to go one, in my opinion. So I think that 5 or 7 slot is pretty locked. But I think alt at five, which 6 to 1, I believe, if as of a day ago, maybe now 4 to 5 to 1. So gaining a tiny bit of steam. But if you're looking to build an exact, and I'm curious what the guys think about this, but I think some sort of Caleb, JJ, Drake, Harrison, alt, if you believe that maybe Daniels falls, maybe there's a little bit of an issue there, or you could put Jaden in that 3 slot and Drake falls. Either way, there's a ton of value in believing that either one of those two quarterbacks kind of doesn't make their way into this group. So like as an example, Caleb, JJ, Drake, Harrison, alt is 125 to 1. Caleb, JJ, Jaden, Harrison, alt is 250 to 1. So I think there's probably just a few long shots that could be taken at this point if you want to start betting on a little bit of chaos in those first few picks. Okay, there I am.
Anyone have thoughts? And Travis, I'm curious in your position here because last week it was JJ McCarthy, or maybe the week before, over 5.5 draft position. Now with this Traeger mock, what I mentioned with the Chargers GM said, those dots to me are connecting to say, oh, well, McCarthy going top five might be worth a look. Are you going to buy out of that position? Is an exacta the route to go if you want to try and not hedge, but create another position?
Yeah, I'll probably just eat it. If I lose, it's fine. We're going
to
lose
I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound here. I'm asking where your mind is. That's what I'm interested in.
Remember we had Levis at like 2 and 4 at this time last year too. So because we're hearing all this smoke about JJ doesn't mean it's true. I do think those long shot bets though are fine because like Evan said, that could be the case. And getting the price that you said, like 125, 250 to one, something like that on things that look very, very viable. I think those are the type of shots worth taking. I also think this is a time where you can, I looked at Joe Alt, he's minus 800 to go in the top 10. I think now that's a fine ROI in 4 days time. It feels weird putting, $100 to win 1250 or whatever it is, but he's gone in the top 10 in 100% of mock drafts. So, I mean, if you think that's basically a lock, you can even start to go that way with some of these. If you want to take Caleb to go number one and you get, bonus bets from your whatever place you're placing sports bets and you, all right, it's 100% lock. Yeah, go ahead and bet into minus 8,000. It doesn't matter.
Jacob, reaction to the exacta?
I think that's a great angle to go. If you have a lean on what the Commanders do at number two, I get some extra value out of it. Did think it's interesting. Danny Jeremiah dropped his final top 150 prospects in the class a couple hours ago, and he hasn't budged on Drake May as a second quarterback. He has May 5th overall, Daniels 6th overall, and then JJ McCarthy down at 20th overall. So he hasn't moved up McCarthy, I don't think, at all in this pre-draft process. And of course, these are his rankings and not necessarily what he thinks teams are going to do. So, take it with a grain of salt. But I do think, like, when I look at guys like Danny Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, other industry minds who I respect this entire time throughout the process, they've had Drake May as their QB2. And I'm still buying into Drake May at that spot. Looking at the exactas, I think if you want to put May at 2 and then McCarthy at 3, the Patriots have been linked pretty heavily to JJ McCarthy in recent weeks. So you can get some value out of that. I think it's sharp as well.
The Action Network podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sports book, BetMGM. Use the bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I want to dive in quickly to the Broncos. Also, were out. You know, Peyton had some quotes. Their GM had some quotes about not forcing it. And this all ties back to the over-under quarterback market at 4.5. And now the number's up to overs at -255 for over 4.5 quarterbacks. And you can get +200 on the under. And that, of course, connects to Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Saw a lot of Rattler discussion about later rounds. That doesn't relate to the first round, of course. But where are we at on that market specifically, Travis, with the over-under quarterback? Is it, I guess... The point is, do you play under? Is playing under right now a good idea at +200?
I still think it's fine. So the tricky part is the Vikings' second pick, and
which is where Nix would go, according to
either Nix or Penix, whoever your quarterback du jour is, because if they don't trade up into that top five to get a McCarthy or someone else. And then one of those two guys is just sitting there at their second pick. I think it'll be kind of tough for them to pass and then just not get either one of them and just, have to roll into the season without drafting a quarterback. So I think that's a tough one. If Minnesota does trade up, then I think the under is a really good play because a lot of those teams in that back half, they don't want a quarterback and they probably don't want to trade out unless they get really overwhelmed with a deal. So once again, it all hinges on the Minnesota Vikings trade since pod number one. So we'll see. I still think under's fine. I think we always, year after year after year, we hype up the quarterbacks a lot. We think there's a ton going, and then we usually get disappointed. So I still think the under there is a fine bet.
Evan, you got a thought in the under?
I would be more inclined to take a stab at where Nix or Penix would go than for me to take a blanket 2-1 on the under. So I know we've talked about that in previous podcasts. I don't think I really have a perfect situation at the moment that I would, but if I were to try to attack that market, that's probably one thing I was going to be looking at.
Fair enough. And go back and listen to, if you haven't done so already, last week's episode, we did a whole Bo Nix segment, basically, about the first round and the Broncos to get him. That number's the same, -175 for the Broncos to draft Bo Nix with their first pick, though, with their first pick, -1. Or no, maybe it's no, just team to land Bo Nix would be the Broncos. Doesn't matter what pick it is. It could be first, could be a second. So, and they don't have a second actually right now, I don't think, right? Broncos don't have a second round pick.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So right. That's kind of the thinking of why they would have to take quarterback because sure. They can't wait until the second round just to grab one. So that number seems ridiculous to me though. There's so many outcomes to lay -175 on an exact match. Don't do that.
Yeah. There's better ways to do it. And the thing about the Vikings too, they have that pick and then they don't pick again, I believe, till the fourth round. So that is also why that slot at and that second draft pick is very important for them, unless they believe in Sam.
All right, Jacob, we'll wrap the quarterback chatter. The 4.5 quarterbacks. What's your take on that as of today?
Yeah, I played the under for small. I had an article about it. Bottom line to me, neither one of Bo Nix or Michael Penix is a first round caliber prospect, and doesn't mean they're not going to go in the first round. We've certainly seen some quarterbacks go earlier than they should in the draft before, but I think Travis broke it down really well. It's going to come down to the Vikings. If they're still at 23, it's going to be tough for them to not take a quarterback given their current situation, but I still think they find a way to trade up. And if they do, there's really nobody else in the back half of the draft who I think is going to be itching to take Bo Nix or Michael Penix. I really don't see the Broncos or Raiders doing it in the 12, 13 spots. So to me, it's just going to come down to the Vikings. And I think a bet on that under is a bet that they trade up and a bet that Nix and Penix just simply aren't first round caliber players.
Okay. There you go. I mean, and the Schrager thing is the Schrager mock is a good way to bring this up again, right? Because he's got Knicks going at 23 with that second first round pick, the Vikings own as of right now. So that's why I think it's still worth discussing and bringing up. And now with the over juiced more than it's been really the whole process, and you can still get 2-1 on the under, worth bringing up. So you guys, all three of you had, you had thoughts at the beginning of the show about draft position. So with that, I'll ask, with some new markets populating and coming up, when is the time this week? And we're going to be back. I'll get to that in a second. We'll tease what we have coming up this week before Thursday and what we're going to do for coverage over here at Action Network on our podcast side. When is the time? I'll go around the horn. This is how we can wrap it. So with some new markets, and if you guys have more you want to give out, this is the time to do so as well. With some of these new markets that are coming up and that you're targeting, when do you have to start having some conviction, Travis, on things you're still kind of feeling iffy, uneasy, and you start firing? When does that kind of come to fruition for you this week?
Yeah, that was yesterday for me. So yesterday was when I was like, all right, we're going to start just hitting a lot of these player over unders. I mentioned a few of them at the top of the show, but I think I ended up with 8 total. Bowers was another one, over 12.5 at +160. Because basically if the Jets don't take him at 10, I could see him falling, you know, Colts is a popular spot, but, tight ends are just tricky. There's a lot of positional value there, versus, okay, is this guy an actual generational prospect? And also he didn't actually test. And I think that's it could possibly hurt his draft stock. His tape looks really good, but you know, if he didn't actually run the 40, is that gonna, you know, hurt what he's called as, like I said, generational prospects. So I think he's another one. And like I said, you're getting +160 on what I think is basically a coin flip of whether or not the Jets take him. So that's another one that I like. A new market that I thought was interesting was over under 6.5 first round trades. Interested to get your thoughts on that. That seemed like a really, really high number to me. The fact that it would have to hit 7 trades to hit the over, I think the under there is a good play as well. I'm interested to see what you guys think about that.
I have it written down. Later today, I'm going to go through some of the recent drafts and figure out like how many would have hit the over or under on that, because I'm very curious by that market. No idea how to handicap it right now, but maybe by the time we get to Thursday, I'll have some more insight on that. But definitely an interesting one.
Evan, you had some thoughts on that?
Oh, feels high, especially for just a first round. I'd like to see the fine print on that too, because there's, you know, I'd like to read the fine print. I'll just leave it at that, just so I understand exactly what they're referring to in terms of, you know, different picks and this and that. But definitely a fun one. I hadn't seen that.
Jacob, anything you're targeting now and where you're going to take some more risk, I think, at this stage? You know, because at some point you got to say, all right, if I'm still weighing my options here or there, Thursday's 3 days from now, right? So.
Yeah, I'm looking to manage. Advice? I'm looking to manage my Dallas Turner position. I was giving that out pretty heavily. You know, like a month and a half ago, I was in on Dallas Turner to be the first defensive player drafted at plus money. It's moved all the way back down now. Lyle Tulatu's steam has been rising a ton. And really, it's just going to come down to whether or not the Falcons can get past his medicals. Talked about in the past, but their defense coordinator, Jimmy Lake, was the coach of Washington when Latu initially medically retired. So some connection there. And Latu ultimately just the most polished pass rusher in this class. So the Falcons want somebody to come in right away and push for 10 sacks as a rookie, Latu's their guy. So I'm looking to manage that position. I got some Latu first defensive player, some Latu top 10. Those numbers have both dropped now. And then I did play a little bit of Dallas Turner over 9.5. If he doesn't go to the Falcons at 8, I think that he's going to drop out of the top 10. Also, I think the Falcons at 8 are a pretty prime trade down spot if somebody wants to jump the Bears for Rome Odunze at that number. So look for that, because that would definitely alter some of these defensive player markets. And, you know, maybe the Bears have a different feeling on who they like among this edge group than the Falcons would. But yeah, I'm looking to manage that Dallas Turner position pretty heavily right now.
Dallas Turner top 10 is even money right now.
Yeah, it's come all the way back down.
And you're saying you wouldn't play that right now?
No, I would not. Although I do think a scenario that's interesting is the Jets, you know, obviously being heavily linked to Brock Bowers, definitely want to add to their pass catching group. if they try to jump the Bears at 9, go up to 8 and get Rome Odunze, that's going to shift a lot of things around. So I keep an eye on that. And if the Falcons get back down to 10, maybe they still end up taking Dallas Turner at 10. So that's still in play.
Okay, Evan, you get the last word. Where are you at between now and Thursday as far as when you start getting you scratch the itch and try to be a little more aggressive or not?
Yeah, I'm with Travis. I mean, I said I've already been attacking, and that's why I had like 5 or 6 over unders that I thought were good initially. The Dallas Turner stuff, to go with what Jacob said, I stopped. I have enough of a position there. I'll probably at some point buy a little over 9.5 just because I've been the champion of the even money top 10. I have enough of it, and I've kind of been riding that train for a while now, but the Latu steam is real. He's probably one of the more talented defenders, if not the most, so I can understand why if Turner doesn't go there, he will fall pretty hard. But I still do believe that, you know, there's even a shot at 9, though I think the Bears will go somewhere else. So that's how I feel there. The one thing I've been trying to figure out, which, you know, might be for Thursday or we might get more information, is just after Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga versus Fuatane. So the three offensive linemen, trying to figure out who's going to there, who's, because mocks are really all over the place. And they're all really priced about the same to be the second offensive lineman drafted. So that's some of the work I've been doing. And one piece of advice, and I probably maybe should have started with this, but I feel like now that there's enough markets out, when you go to bet on these things, trying to figure out exactly what you're looking for, right? So if you like Bowers to the Jets, there's probably 4 or 5 ways to bet it, right? It's Bowers to the Jets specifically. It's Bowers top 10. It's Jets first position drafted, or it's Bowers over under. So just make sure you shop and find the position you want, because there might be better value. So that's just a PSA.
Hey, gentlemen. Very good. We are here. It is draft week. We are back here. This is what the deal. This is what we're doing this week. 2 more episodes this week. So today is the 22nd of April. That means we are back on Thursday, which would bring us to draft day, day 1, April 25th. We will have one last minute best bets episode for round 1 of the draft Thursday afternoon. It should go live around 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern. That's episode 1. Later this week, and then including today. And then the other episode we'll have out is overnight. We're going to get together after the first round of the draft, late in the night, in the wee hours of the morning, and we are going to do a quick round 1 react, but a react to try to predict and set up what might happen on day 2. And those markets can be very limited when we do go live and when we get together to do that, but we're going to whip something together. We did it last year and it was fun. I can't get over Michael Mayer still to the Raiders. That was a fun overnight bonanza for us. So that's the plan too. An overnight episode that we will record, have out first thing, like early first thing Friday morning, that covers day 2 of the NFL draft. And then look forward to this a week from now, a week from today. We will have a special NFL draft recap and draft grades episode with Chris Raybon and an old friend of the Action Network podcast, Matthew Friedman. So they will be back here next week when we know where all the picks, we know where everyone is and how it all shook out. That will be out next Monday afternoon. So we look forward to being back with all of you again on Thursday. Rapid fire, not a long show. Well, I'm fascinated, and draft trade market, which is at 6.5, unders at even money. How many trades will there be on Thursday? That's fascinating. It's 6.5. That is the current price at that market right now. So that can be a jumping off point. And hopefully at that stage, Travis will have more information to pick apart that particular market. So that's what we're going to do. We'll be back here Thursday. Be on the lookout 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern time for Travis Reed, Jacob Wayne, Evan Abrams, Brendan Glasheen. Thanks for tuning in here on the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.